This morning, our scripture lesson is Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There's an old gospel song, "Thank God I Am Free." And the chorus you might recall is, "Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I am so glad that I found out he could bring me out and show me the way." I believe Paul would like that song. In our scripture lesson, Paul is proclaiming that indeed we are free from sin's power. Maybe I need to repeat that. We are free from sin's power. The problem is, some of us have not realized that freedom, and therefore we are still needlessly trapped in sin. Now there are others, we hope the minority, that want to hold to the grace of God with one hand while grasping hold to their sin with the other. In Romans 5, Paul has spoken at length of the saving power of the work of Jesus on the cross. He has gone to great lengths declaring the grace of God. Then beginning in chapter 6, Paul addresses what on the one hand may sound like a strange question. But I would contend that the question is very more common than we would realize, that we may want to admit, even though we wouldn't use these exact words. Paul both asks the question and responds to it in Romans 6, verses 1 through 4. Remember, he's gone to great lengths talking about the grace of God in chapter 5. Then beginning in chapter 6, he says, "What are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound?" After all, now I'm coming off the page a minute. After all, the more we sin, the more of God's grace covers us. So, you know, why not? Should we just sin more so that we can experience more grace? What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too we might walk in newness of life. Before I started attempting, notice I said attempting, before I started attempting to become more health conscious, I was on a medication for cholesterol. Man, it was working good. It brought my cholesterol down so much it was crazy. I mean, it was like almost zero, and I'm not embellishing. I mean, it was working good. And I loved it. Until I go to my doctor and he says, well, John says, what we've determined by medical research, that this medicine, it works good on the cholesterol, but it tears your arterial walls to pieces. I think we need to come off of it. Okay. But that was sad. Because it was great medicine. I mean, I could eat, or at least I thought in my mind, whatever I wanted to, and that medicine just, I don't know what it did, but it just got rid of the cholesterol. I was loving it. And when Sally would say, you know, I'd be eating all this fat-laden stuff, and when Sally would say something about, you know, don't you think you might want to watch it a little bit? I'd say, I'm taking medicine for that. Well, I was taking medicine for that, but I was not correcting the problem. I was trying to maintain detrimental habits, but escape the consequences. I wanted to maintain unhealthy habits, but maintain my health. So I was taking medicine for that. Now, Paul is addressing the spiritual equivalent. Realizing the grace of God was erroneously thought by many to mean, do whatever you want that you know is sin because the grace of Jesus has it covered. We're taking medicine for that. That leaves Paul having to address how the grace of God covers all sin, but it is not license to sin. Very important distinction. The grace of God covers all sin, but the grace of God is not license to sin. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. We all miss the mark. And praise the Lord, grace covers that sin. Yet with all of that being absolutely true, we do not have permission to willingly, nonchalantly sin. We are not granted liberty to pick and choose when we will follow the way of Jesus and when we will follow our preferences or the ways of society. Paul declares, we don't just take medicine for sin, we have the cure for sin. Remember earlier I said the problem is some of us have not realized the freedom in Christ that is ours, and therefore we're needlessly trapped in sin. Others, hopefully by the minority, are trying to hang on to their sin with one hand and grasp the grace of Christ with the other. Paul declares that we are conquerors over sin. Now, one decision we've all made, whether it was a conscious decision or whether it was by fault, by making no decision, is this. I want you to hear this question. Do we believe that we have been freed from our sins? Or do we concede that because we are human, we're stuck? Think about that question. Important question. And we have all answered it. Some of us have answered it intentionally. Some of us have answered it by default, by not answering it. Do you believe that you are freed from sin? That you can conquer sin? That through Jesus Christ you have the power over sin? Or do you believe that because you're a human being, you're stuck in your sin? Our answer to that question is crucial. Think of any struggle. It can be thoughts. It can be words. It can be deeds. It can be attitudes. My guess is there is something you need to change. And the reason I can guess that is because if we had all day, I can tell you what I need to change. My guess is there's something you know you need to change. And a part of you wishes you could change. But even though you may not have consciously decided, you have surrendered the struggle. Hey, I'm human. I know I'm going to sin. So why fight? Why struggle with it? Or have you claimed the power over that sin, and thus, even though you may not have conquered it yet, you are in the process of conquering it? Which is it for you? We feel trapped in character flaws because we inherited them. My granddaddy was this way, my daddy was this way, I'm this way, my son's probably going to be this way. We inherited it. So there's nothing we can do about it. We have no choice. We become so used to a flaw that though we despise that flaw, always having been this way, I'll always be this way. Perhaps some experience negative messages from parents or teachers or preachers, and you internalize that either you weren't smart enough, you weren't good enough, you weren't talented enough to make an impact on life. You can add your own issues to the list. The point is this. We all have temptations or regrets or emotional issues. There's not a one of us that came into this room this morning that does not have baggage, including the one standing in front of you right now. Not a one of us stepped in this room this morning that's not carrying some baggage. We all have something in our lives that has the potential from keeping us from fully, joyfully living the Christian life. And to use Paul's vernacular, we can break free through the power of the Holy Spirit, or we can allow ourselves to be enslaved. Paul declares that we do not have to be enslaved to our sin. Indeed, Paul says we should not be. Do you see the difference in attitude that Paul is pushing and therefore I'm trying to push this morning? I'm in there with you. It's so easy to say I'm human and therefore I'm going to sin. I can't change. You can change. I can change. Yes, the enemy's a strong enemy, but he can be beat. If we go in with the power of the Holy Spirit. But if we go in all mealy-mouthed, well, I'm just human and I've always been this way and I'm always going to struggle. Well, yeah, you are. But if we take to heart the words of Paul, we don't deal with our sin. We don't take medicine for that. We conquer that. In Romans, Paul speaks a great deal about the connection between Jesus' death and resurrection and our relationship with God. Basically, Paul asserts that all who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior have participated spiritually in Christ's death and resurrection. Christ's death brings death to sin, and Christ's resurrection brings us into new life. In our scripture lesson in verses 7 through 11, Paul declares, "We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever is freed from, for whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Now, how does all this stuff work in everyday life, though? Through the realization that we have died to our sinful motivations and we have been raised into being motivated by the ways of Christ, we operate out of a completely different mindset. And I'm not talking this morning simply about thinking positive or any self-help motivation techniques. It goes much deeper. Just a few examples. Luke 43 through 46, Jesus teaches, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks." And then for me, the real zinger Jesus throws in here, then he says, "Well, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" And then in Romans 12, 2, Paul instructs, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And then there's a secular quote that I believe Jesus and Paul would agree with. "Watch your thoughts. They become your words. Watch your words. They become your actions. Watch your actions. They become your habits. Watch your habits. They become your character. Watch your character, for it becomes your destiny." Notice it all starts with the mind, and we know that the best way of watching our thoughts is through the renewing of our thoughts through the recreating power of God. When through Bible study, prayer, worship, and Christian fellowship and service, we fill our minds with the attitudes and the motivations and the thoughts of Jesus, our focus changes. Our focus changes from avoiding the wrong to participating with Christ. And in so doing, we become increasingly aware that we are not victims of sin, but indeed we are victors over sin. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. Let us pray. Our most gracious and loving Lord, we thank you that as Christians, we are not victims. We know that the enemy is still alive and active. We know that until Jesus returns, the enemy will not let up. We know there will be struggles in life. Yet, Lord, even so, we are not victims. We are conquerors. We are not enslaved, but we are free. Lord, you know each one of us in this room. You know our baggage. You know those things that would hold us back. You know those things with which we struggle. They will differ for each of us. Lord, whatever it is in each of our lives, hearts, minds, and souls that plagues us, that would attempt to enslave us, through your Holy Spirit, grant us the victory. And may our minds be renewed, that we will not struggle to overcome sin, but we will participate in your life. And thus we will be conquerors. Touch each of us as we need to experience your touch. In Jesus' most holy name we pray. Amen. This morning our altar is open as it is always. If you feel led to come and pray at the altar for any reason, please come as we sing our hymn.